How would your workplace, church, or public square change if you practice humility and self-reflection before boldly correcting others? Are areas of hypocrisy where actions don't match convictions clouding your relationships, your leadership, or your witness? And how would repentance reshape those spaces? Let's dive in and remove the plank by self-reflecting before correction. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of FPIW.org. You know, we're oftentimes asked, why do you do a daily devotion? Because we're changing hearts so we can change the public square. We know that culture is downstream from the church, and we want to take a little bit of church, a little bit of God's word into your heart today as you go into that workplace. We are in a series called Practice. What are you practicing? And that comes right from Scripture, and we're in Romans chapter 2, verse 3. If you enjoy these daily devotionals, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle so we can all grow together in the Word of God. Also, if you're a financial partner with FPIW, I want to say a great big thank you. We so appreciate it. Your financial help does help keep these daily devotions coming out and growing in the Word of God as we move forward. So Romans chapter 2, verse 3, it says this, "But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" So what I love about Paul's writings is he's incredibly transparent and honest. He's like, hey, you're practicing some things. Now, if you don't know what those things are, go to yesterday's devotion, and you're going to see the whole list. I'm only going to hit a few of those because I want to emphasize today about what it means to be a hypocrite, like to practice the same things that you're judging other people about and somehow thinking, well, I'm this, I'm that, I go to church, whatever our excuses are, that we're going to escape God's judgment. And so let's talk about being a hypocrite today. To a certain level, we all have areas of hypocrisy, areas that we don't measure up or match up to what God's word has to say. Hopefully, we're growing in the things of God and getting a little bit better. Because as we go into the public square, we know that people are watching our life. And so it's like, God, help me, empower me, give me your Holy Spirit today to overcome my weaknesses in the areas that do not honor you. So let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." You know, I know everything Jesus says is true. I can tell you that this area I have found to be abundantly true in my heart and my life. So there's been ways that I've judged others, and then it comes back, and I get that same judgment from another person. Also, the same idea of God, you know, where you've judged, and you're like, oh, I'm so better than them, and I'm so this and that. And God comes, and he's like, brings in conviction through his Holy Spirit, and it's like, hey, do you want to have that measurement of judgment? For the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured unto you. Now look at this. "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" So you're going into that workplace today. Are you noticing what is incredibly wrong with other people instead of being self-reflective and noticing what's wrong with yourself? It is so easy to see the wrongs of others greater than our own. And Jesus is teaching us a principle. He's saying, hey, listen, you're going to have some measurement going out on judgment, and so you got to think through this. And it's not that we're not supposed to call sin sin, or we're not supposed to walk in righteousness, but how we do that. Do we do that calling sin sin out of love for people or in self-righteousness? That's the key. Are we actually loving people because we don't want them to experience the wrath of God, or are we doing it in self-righteousness, like, look at me? And that's where I think all of us have to work at. We have to work at not judging in such a way that we notice that their sin as greater than our sin. So why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, hey, let me take that little thing out of your eye, and behold, there's a great big plank or log in your own eye. This is amazing. Like, Jesus is using a metaphor that we can all relate to. Think about this. He's saying, you have a little piece of sawdust in your eye, but man, there's a 2x4 in your own eye. And let me help you get that sawdust out while you're looking through a very blurry lens. Because what we need more in the public square right now is self-reflection. We don't need more of self-righteousness, self-arrogance, pride, all those kind of things. You hypocrite, first. Now look at this. You hypocrite. This is what Jesus says to us. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So I've been challenged with this at times, because sometimes people think about judgment as never addressing a concern for your brother or sister, whether they are a Christ follower or whether they are fellow creation or created by God. That you should keep your judgments to yourself and not worry if they fall off the cliff, you might say. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He says he's calling them a hypocrite because they didn't look inside first, and then out of love, go to that person and remove our own sin first before we go try to help someone else with their sin. And I think that we could revolutionize the public square if we simply did what Jesus says to do. If we simply said, God, show me my sin as greater than what I'm seeing in the other person. So if we go up to a partial list of what was above in Romans chapter 1, the practicing was about unrighteousness, practicing righteousness or unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, I think that was like 3 or 4 days ago, we so easily can see areas where maybe our brother or sister is practicing something that's not honoring to God or isn't right. Maybe it's between parties, liberal and conservative, Democrat, Republican, and you're seeing, hey, they're doing the wrong thing. But have we looked inward first? Have we sat down? Maybe we're haughty against our elected officials, but have we sat down and say, where did we set our principles aside in our leadership? Where have we done the same exact things? And out of love and out of humility, we go. Maybe it's a manager or boss or someone who's over you in places of employment. And you're like, I'm good at this. They're not good at this. But then we go home and we do the exact same thing with our kids. So there's always a place of hypocrisy in our life, and we need to take that before the Lord and say, Lord, help me not to practice this hypocrisy. Help me to walk in newness of life and what you have for me. Or sexual immorality. Maybe we have a pecking order for what is sexually permissible. Like, maybe you're saying, man, I can look at porn, but man, I can't believe those people are homosexuals. God wants us to look internally first. And in those areas, to repent first, and out of love, we go to our brother or sister, and we begin to help them in their area of weakness as well. How about wickedness and goodness? You know, I think it's very, very easy for us, and this is partial list from Romans chapter 1, but it's very easy for us to just be judgmental over these things and suppose, well, somehow God's going to overlook our sin. And the fact is, if we're practicing those things, in other words, we're intentionally, premeditatively, and willfully going after wickedness, we're not Christ followers. Or sexual immorality. You know, if we're just giving the finger to God and saying, God, do it your way. I'm going to do it my way, I mean. That's not honoring to God. Covetousness or not having contentment or generosity, thinking through those things. And so, remember that we need to remove the plank from our own eye or the log from our own eye first. Not being kind, being malicious, and not giving benevolence, doing good intentionally. So we need to be people who remove that maliciousness out of our eye. Full of envy, rejoicing with others, or you're going to rejoice with others. Backbiters. I see a lot of this in the conservative movement where we backbite, and it causes us to have problems and struggles within the movement to be effective in the kingdom and of God and doing what he has called us to do. Now, I want to remind you, the kingdom of God is what the Word of God says, that His kingdom is in heaven and our stewardship is here on earth. And what we want to do is do actions that are pleasing unto the Lord instead of running amidst on areas that just do not honor Him or glorify Him. So what's the point of today? What do we want to take as we walk into our workplace? Well, practice self-reflection. Be a person who looks for the plank and sees both your own sin as greater in magnitude, other words, size, and in volume, and in effect, right? So like the plank would totally blur out your vision. See it as greater. And then with that in mind, if you feel still the need to go talk to someone or help someone or lovingly confront someone or pull them back in, then do so in humility instead of self-righteousness and pride and arrogance. And this would include how we address elected officials or how we look at law enforcement or how we look at whatever area of life. We need to begin to self-reflect. And then be consistent in your living. When you make a mistake, ask for forgiveness. When you've fallen short, ask God to forgive you and ask others to forgive you. We all do it. We all fall short at times. Now, in our position in Christ, we're a saint, we're set free, we're new, we're complete, we're brand new, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is we're also being sanctified. So God's working those things out, and it's humility, repentance, and forgiveness that are just critical components to moving forward in the public square. So I hope you have a blessed day as you go into work today and you reflect, what are some areas that I can honor and glorify God a little bit more throughout my day? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I do pray for those as they go into work today, God, that they would be able to hear your voice, that as the Holy Spirit convicts them of areas of weakness, that they can respond to that and know that you are a loving Father who runs to them. When we take one step towards you, you take a million steps towards us. And we're thankful for that, God. We're thankful that you run to us, you embrace us, you give us a new ring, a new robe, a new set of sandals. You call us and celebrate us as we come home. Lord, remove the log from our own eye before we try to take the speck out of our brother's eye. Help us to see the areas that we have contributed to our downfall and breaking down of culture and society around us, and help us to walk in the newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.